MyAudiobooks.ai presents The Round Trip. Why Wall Street's newest insurance exchange just sold for less than its IPO price. On July 24th, 2025, Accelerant Holdings went public on the New York Stock Exchange at $21 a share, an upsized, oversubscribed debut for a company that promised to rebuild how specialty insurance gets bought and sold. On August 13th, 2026, 13 months later, the same company announced it was being taken private by Thoma Bravo for $20.25 a share, 75 cents less than the IPO price. The all-cash deal values the company at more than $4 billion, and the press release calls it a premium. Both things are true, and the gap between them is the story of how the public markets now treat their newest members as inventory. At myaudiobooks.ai, you can create your own audiobooks from prompts, turn your documents into audio, all with one subscription, and store your items in your own personal library. During our research into the primary merger filing, the Form 8K filed with the Securities and Exchange Commission on the day of signing, the company's IPO pricing documents, and the strange architecture of the business being sold, we found a story about what a 49% premium means when the starting price was already underwater, why the world's biggest software private equity firm wants to own an insurance exchange, and the quiet detail in the compensation schedule that tells you who this deal was really good for. Section 1. The Anatomy of a Round Trip. Start with the document itself, because the numbers in the 8K are exact, where the press coverage was round. The merger agreement, executed August 13, 2026, between Accelerant and two Cayman entities backed by Thoma Bravo's Discover Fund 5, converts every share of Accelerant into $20.25 in cash, plus a ticking fee that accrues if the closing drags, for an enterprise value above $4 billion. The board's independent committee called it fair. The stock jumped 43% on the announcement to $19.51. And that closing price, after the pop, after the biggest single-day gain in the company's short public life, was still below what public investors paid at the IPO. The ticking fee deserves its own sentence because it is the tell of how the negotiation actually went. A ticking fee is a per diem the buyer pays for every day the deal takes to close, compensation to shareholders for having their money trapped in the waiting room. Buyers only accept ticking fees when they know the sellers are anxious, and sellers only demand them when they know the regulatory road is long. Its presence in this agreement says both sides understood from the start that this was a deal priced for a wounded stock, with a closing that could stretch across two antitrust and insurance regulatory regimes into 2027. Everyone at the table knew what they were trading. Only some of them had a choice about it. That is the round trip, and it deserves to be stared at. Accelerant sold shares to the public at $21 in July of 2025. Over the following year, the stock traded as high as $30.48 and as low as $9.18, a violently wide band for a company whose business did not change nearly as much as its price did. Then private equity arrived and paid a premium measured against the depressed price, not the debut price. A 49% premium to the prior close sounds generous. It is also 75 cents a share below what the underwriters charged the public 13 months earlier. Both statements are in the filing. Only one of them made the headline. Section 2. What Thoma Bravo actually bought. To understand why the biggest software buyout firm on Earth spent $4 billion here, you have to understand what Accelerant is. And the answer is not an insurance company, whatever its stock sector says. Accelerant runs what it calls a risk exchange, a platform that sits between the small specialist underwriters who actually evaluate weird risks, the managing general agents, or MGAs, and the pools of capital that want to insure them, Specialty insurance is the corner of the industry that covers everything ordinary carriers won't touch. Cannabis businesses, crypto custodians, niche professional liability, the thousand strange exposures of the modern economy. It is also, structurally, a data problem.
Which risk will who write? At what price? With what performance history? The exchange that aggregates that data becomes the toll booth between underwriters and capital.
The MGA ecosystem underneath this is one of finance's least understood growth stories. Over the past decade, specialty underwriting quietly migrated out of the big carriers and into thousands of small, nimble agencies that know one niche cold. The underwriter who only does cold storage warehouses, the one who only does drone fleets. These firms originate the risk, but cannot hold it because holding risk requires a balance sheet. So the modern specialty market is a chain. The MGA finds and prices the risk, a fronting carrier lends its license and paper, and the capital, reinsurers, insurance-linked securities funds, increasingly private credit, takes the exposure. Every link in that chain needs the same thing: clean, current, comparable data on what is actually being insured.
Whoever owns the data layer owns the market's visibility. And visibility is what the capital is paying for. That is the asset Thoma Bravo bought. Not premiums, not policies. The pipe.
The firm has spent two decades buying the unglamorous infrastructure of information industries, the software underneath the workflows. And an insurance exchange is precisely that. Recurring fee, data-dense, switch-cost-heavy plumbing. The public market valued Accelerant as an insurance company and priced it with the volatility of one. Thoma Bravo valued it as vertical market infrastructure and paid accordingly. The difference between those two valuations is the trade. Section 3. Who got paid?
The compensation schedule inside the merger agreement is where the deal's real politics live. Most of it is standard. Options cash out at their spread. Restricted stock converts at the deal price. But the performance share section contains a small masterpiece of inside the 10th decimal drafting. For the current performance year, outstanding performance stock units are deemed to vest at 250% of target. Not the deal price. 2.5 times the number of shares at the deal price. The executive's final public company scorecard will be graded at 250% in the same transaction where the public shareholders who bought the debut are being cashed out below their entry price.
The mechanics matter here, because 250 is not a number that happens by accident. Performance share plans pay out on a curve. Miss the target and you get a fraction. Hit it and you get 100%. Blow past it and the payout caps at some negotiated ceiling. 250% is the ceiling, the number reserved for the best conceivable year. Fixing the final measurement at the ceiling means the people who designed the curve decided in the last act of the public company that this was the best conceivable year. The shareholder's scorecard says the stock lost a quarter of its value in 13 months. The executive scorecard says maximum performance.
Both scorecards are in the same filing, and the distance between them is the entire history of modern executive compensation in one paragraph.
None of this is illegal, and none of it is even unusual. That is precisely what makes it worth saying out loud. A company can be priced wrong by the public market for a year, sell itself below its own IPO, and still deliver a 250% of target year to the people running it. The premium the board negotiated is real. So is the fact that the risk of the mispriced year landed on the shareholders, and the reward for ending it landed on the insiders. The filing documents both in adjacent paragraphs. This content is for informational purposes only and does not constitute financial or investment advice.
Section 4. The original angle. the broken IPO harvest. Set the deal against the past 2 years of public debuts, and the pattern snaps into focus. The 2025 IPO window reopened with a cohort of insurance and financial platform companies priced for a risk-on market that did not survive contact with 2026. They debuted hot, traded down hard, and spent a year underwater. And now the private equity bid is arriving, one deal at a time, to harvest them. The playbook is elegant in its brutality. Wait for a newly public company to lose a third of its value in a drawdown, then offer a premium to the bottom. The board gets to declare victory, the buyer gets the asset at a price that would have been impossible at the peak, and the only constituency that remembers the IPO price is the one that bought it. The cycle has historical echoes, and they are instructive. After the 2001 dot-com crash, a generation of freshly public technology companies spent years trading below their offering prices, while acquirers picked through them. And the ones that got bought cheap often turned out to hold the decade's best assets, repriced by panic rather than by performance. After 2008, the same dynamic hit the financial debuts. The pattern repeats because it is structural. Public markets reprice fast and emotionally. Private capital reprice slowly and arithmetically. And the gap between those two speeds is where the returns live. What is different this time is the speed of the loop. The 2001 vintage took years to be harvested. The 2025 vintage is being harvested in 13 months. Accelerant is the cleanest specimen of the cycle so far. 13 months from debut to delisting announcement. Sold at a 49% premium that was still a discount to the offering price. It will not be the last. Every banker in the industry is running the same screen this week. The class of 2025, sorted by distance below the debut price. And every fund the size of Thoma Bravo's is reading it. At myaudiobooks.ai, you can listen to this story and thousands of others that explore the hidden science and mechanics behind the headlines. Section 5. What to look for next. The first signal is the shareholder vote itself. The merger needs 2/3 of votes cast under Cayman rules, and a below IPO price has a way of surfacing holdout funds who remember what they paid. Watch for dissent rights exercise approaching the 15% threshold that would give the buyer a walkaway option, because that is where a renegotiation or a price bump would begin. The second is the go shop and the rival bid. A deal priced under the offering price invites a second suitor to argue the premium was cheap, and any competing approach in the solicitation window reprices the whole insurtech exchange sector overnight. The third is the cohort effect. Which of the remaining 2025 financial platform debutants gets the next take private approach? Because the second deal converts a one-off into a harvest season. The fourth is what Thoma Bravo does with the exchange once it is private. The tell will be whether the firm expands the data platform into adjacent insurance rails, claims, reinsurance placement, capital formation, which would confirm the thesis that this was never an insurance bet, but an infrastructure one. The fifth is the next IPO window. If the 2026 newcomers price more conservatively because of round trips like this one, the correction is working. If they don't, the cycle repeats with new names. The sixth is the regulatory path to close. Insurance regulatory approvals across multiple jurisdictions are the long pole in this deal's timeline, and any condition imposed there, a required divestiture, a capital commitment, would mark the first time a specialty insurance exchange drew the kind of scrutiny usually reserved for carriers. Each of these determines whether this deal is remembered as fair value for a misunderstood company, or as the cleanest example yet of the public market's newest exit, going public so private equity can buy you back cheaper. Section 6. The broader pattern and open question. There is a quieter irony underneath all of it, and it belongs at the front of the ledger. Accelerant did not fail.
Its platform grew, its premiums grew, its exchange processed more risk every quarter of its short public life. The business worked. What failed was the price. And in 2026, when the price fails and the business works, the business does not get time to fix the price. It gets a call from a fund that has been watching the chart for months, waiting for exactly this shape. The round trip is not a story about a company that broke. It is a story about a market that now treats temporarily mispriced as an acquisition criterion. The broad pattern is that the public to private pipeline has inverted its meaning. The IPO was once the destination, the moment a company was finally worth what its builder said it was. In this cycle, it is becoming a way station, a place to establish a mark, discover the mark was wrong, and hand the asset to patient capital at a negotiated discount to the story. The public market's discovery function is being used to set the reserve price for its own liquidation. The machinery enabling this is the sheer size of the private bid. A generation ago, a $4 billion take private was a landmark that required a consortium and months of financing contingency. Now, it is a midweek announcement, with the financing condition waived entirely. The 8K states plainly that the availability of the buyer's financing is not a condition of the deal. When a single fund can write that sentence, the public float of a mid-cap company is no longer a constituency. It is an option the buyer holds on the seller's own shareholders. There is a second pattern, and it is about who bears the mispricing. When a company rounds below its debut, the loss is distributed across every public holder who believed the roadshow. When the same company then sells at a premium to the bottom, the gain concentrates in the buyer and the insiders whose performance shares vest at 250% of target. The system worked exactly as designed. The question is who it was designed for. Which leaves the open question. If the newest cohort of public companies can be taken private below their own debut prices, with the deal called a premium and the insiders paid at 2.5 times target, what is the IPO actually for in 2026? And who is still buying the debut? The filing is public. The vote is scheduled. The round trip is complete. And the next one is already boarding. At myaudiobooks.ai, you can create fiction, nonfiction, and turn your documents into audio, all stored in one place with a single subscription. Plus, get instant access to thousands of audiobooks and deep dive investigations. Learn more today at myaudiobooks.ai.
This concludes the audiobook narration. Thank you for listening.